I'm Brandon.
And I'm Brandon.
And welcome back to Apollo City Comics, your anything and everything comic book podcast. Dude, we had a week off. We just didn't record, but we did Miracle Man last. And that was a fun little blast. We're going to jump into some more Miracle Man again pretty soon. That series is just so complex, and I've been doing so much like back history homework on that Komoda book I have. It's super fucking exciting to like be jumping into that stuff right now. And, you know, we're going to kind of pull back the brakes on the mainstream kind of indie stuff for a minute. And we're going to go into the real deep dives once more. Always the fun and always the pleasurable talking to a creator today, which, you know, it kind of makes our lives easier. We didn't have to read this week, and it's just like the best thing ever. I guess we did technically need to read. We had a press release and a book to read. I mean, it's a different kind of reading, you know what I mean? We're not having to like, you know, break down and like really like
take,
you know,
notes.
Yeah, take notes and do like big, you know, investigative work on everything. We're gonna do our investigating right now. So snuggle up and grab your cup of coffee that you probably got from coffeeandacomic.com, where Frank will set you up with a pull list, get all your variants. I just reset up my pull list lately, and because I really wanted Gotham City Year One, because I wanted like a noir, like Tom King detective story, and he had all.
You haven't read that yet?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
Oh wow, you're missing out.
I'm pretty hyped about it. I rewatched Chinatown the other night, and I was just like hyped, and I was like, I just gotta read this now.
You watch Chinatown, and you're like, man, I could really go for some Batman now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So hit them up. I mean, dude, bagged and boarded books and coffee with your order, some stickers, some, you know, sweet love on Instagram if you give them a shout out. It's always a pleasure working with Frank, and it's so simple. And that new TMNT book, The Lost Years, is coming out. I know a lot of people are hyped about that. I got a copy. I'm not even a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, and that book is fucking dope. So hit him up. Get your books through him. And let's kind of segue over to co-creator and illustrator. We have Mr. J. Red on the show tonight talking about his book Abducted that just launched on Kickstarter and is kicking ass on Kickstarter right now. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Great to be here.
You hit your goal in, 26 hours, which is always a pleasure. You know what I mean? It gets that first, anxiety out, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a first for me. So, yeah, 26 hours, a little over 100% funded. So, super psyched about that.
Man, that's great.
Really good day.
I love hearing about the indie books that just succeed in that sense right off the bat, you know, because it's always as indie creators and as indie you know, you're putting something out into the world that you're trying to just reach through the algorithm and whoever you can and partner with, and just getting that funding and those goals locked in so you can expand and do other stuff. I know you're telling us before the show that you're figuring out some logistics on how to treat fans next, and I'm excited for stuff like that. How many Kickstarters have you done? What's your tenure with crowdfunding?
I've been involved with, I think, two before this, with Billy Diamond Jr. He's a collaborator of mine on some other stuff. We did a book called The Body, and then an anthology comic called Superposition. Cool. He and I and Zach Carrion, who's the writer for Abducted. And we ran those campaigns, kind of didn't really know what we were doing, just kind of figured it out on the fly. So kind of taking those lessons learned there and applying it here and doing things the right way from the start. So it's definitely been a smoother process on Abducted for sure.
Yeah, the Kickstarter's do's and don'ts are something that everybody that's been on the show has been very wary about, and just man, it is it's just gonna kick your ass for a minute, and then you're gonna figure it out and you're gonna get through it and kind of prevail through. Why do you choose Kickstarter over other crowdfunding platforms? What do you have any decision behind that? Is it a team group thing that you've kind of narrowed it down to?
Yeah, I think they just have so many people that have accounts on the platform. It just seems like the best way to go about it. I mean, lots of people have Kickstarter accounts already, so it's not that hard for them to just go ahead and make the leap to back a project, it seems like.
Is Kickstarter the most popular site when it comes to crowdfunding?
I would say so at the moment. Compared to the rest of them, I feel like they're the most mainstream most popular one. I know there's other ones that are rising, Crowdfunder is a comic book exclusive one, right?
Yeah, Crowdfunder looks pretty interesting. I sat in on a webinar they had a while back. The way they do things looks pretty cool. I might check them out in the future. But for this one, yeah, we just decided to go with Kickstarter, mainly because, yeah, they just have such a huge platform.
Yeah, nice. So much reach that they have when it comes to, like, getting to people.
And so where did the book come from? This is the collected edition. So you've had issues 1 through 5 out previously. Were those crowdfunded? And how long have you been on the stretch of, you know, collecting Abducted?
So 2017, 2018, Zach and I kind of came up with the idea for this. We actually had started it 10 years before and then got like 14 pages in and life got in the way, kind of got abandoned. And then, around 2017, 2018, we were like, man, we need to bring that back and actually do it for real, you know? And so we just did it ourselves. We didn't do any crowdfunding. We were going to do it as a free webcomic. And so we kind of released it that way. And then as it got further along and all the labor and everything, we're like, man, this deserves to be, you know, in print. So, we had it printed in issue form, kind of sold them around friends and family and kind of local conventions, and then sold out of that run of comic, just, you know, floppies. And then I thought, you know, there's a bigger audience for this. What's a great way to, you know, get it out there? And I thought a collected edition, because that way we can get the whole series in one book. We can throw in a bunch of bonus content. We even threw in the, pages from the very first time we tried to do this, the black That's and white cool. art from those in the bonus section. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of got the history of the project all in there. So yeah, it's like it's over 170 pages, full color, a lot of bonus content. And yeah, we thought we'd crowdfund it. That would, you know, pay for the printing and also kind of help us reach a wider audience. And then, Mark with Lesser Known Comics talked to me and was interested in kind of teaming up to partner with this. So through Lesser Known Comics, we are able to reach an even bigger audience and then offer a lot of the titles from the Lesser Known Comics catalog as add-ons or their own tiers in the Abducted Kickstarter campaign. So pretty cool.
That's dope. Nice. Yeah, Mark is just become one of those kind of gurus in this industry at this point with indie creators to just help us just get out there and succeed. And, you know, the Kickstarter guidance he provides is just like unreal, you know, and I'm super hyped that you're in touch with him and getting help with that. Cause it's his whole checklist of like how he kind of helps people out and the process behind it is really well thought out. And it's always just, you know, learning lessons and having to do it and kind of fail at a certain point. And I'm glad that, you know, that knowledge is being shared. And you're also printing through Comics Wellspring as well, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we printed the floppies through them and also are printing the graphic novel format through them. They do such an awesome job and they're really quick and, you know, their customer service is great. And so, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's another name that's popped up so much more in the last year, and I'm really glad those guys are getting a bigger bandwidth. We're putting together an anthology, that punk rock anthology, and I had to Google like some random question, like what's the size of the files need to be to send off and blah blah blah. And the very first like thing that popped up, I was like, okay, let me click that, let me read through it. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Comics Wellspring. Like I should have just gone to this, and now it's just like a base for that website's filled with cool comic book information.
Yeah, they have all kinds of resources out there for anybody wanting to do this kind of stuff. So yeah, they've been really helpful.
That's the cool part, is that the indie community, I feel, has the most resources now than they've ever had before. And it's just really helped everyone just kind of understand the process and the painstake behind it, but also the joy and fun and the end result. And I think once everyone has that book in their hands for the very first time, they see that end result and know they could pursue forward, you know? Dude, that's awesome. So, you know, this like idea for the book was, you know, you're a co-creator from it. You know, what inspired you guys to start going down this route and turn into this giant, you know, plethora of like, you know, content that you have now?
Yeah, we were always throwing around ideas for stuff to make. And we kind of really liked like kind of UFO or conspiracy theory kind of storylines, X-Files kind of stuff. And so we kind of came up with this and thought, you know, this is one that could really have legs, you know? And then so it was around 2018. We started it, you know, in earnest, and it kind of took through 2020 through the pandemic. By the time I wrapped up all the artwork and everything, and we hired an awesome colorist named Maya Opasik to do some colors on the book, and she just really knocked it out of the park and took it to a whole new level. And then she's gone on; she's working on a series called Tights now, and doing really great with that.
I knew that name sounded familiar. I was just reading Tights the other day. Fuck yeah, dude!
I think Abducted was the first major project of hers, so we were lucky to get her on that. But cool. It's been a blast.
Dude, that's awesome. So where did you kind of start drawing? How long have you been at it, and also like kind of guided towards comics at the same point? Because I know that's supposed to be two different routes. Yeah.
I'd say, I grew up drawing, and as far as comics, the early 2000s, we and some other friends kind of started making some little web comics, just posting on blogs, you know, for ourselves to read mainly, and then just kind of getting better over time through that. I drew a couple of single issue comics, but just kind of did a small print run, and this is kind of before the crowdfunding days, so didn't really have a big reach there. So it wasn't really until Abducted that kind of everything came together to where we could kind of, you know, reach a big audience with it. So, but yeah, I mean, past 10, 15 years off and on, nice. Just kind of getting better at it.
And did you like, were you kind of there for like, you know, you're kind of basically going from that traditional to digital aspect. What do you kind of prefer to work with at that point?
So for this, like I started traditional on the first issue. And I had this giant scanner that could scan in like 11 by 17 art and, you know, clean it up in Photoshop and getting it ready for colors. And then over time, I got an iPad Pro. And when the Apple Pencil came out, I was like, this is kind of a game changer because I can just draw anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I switched over to that, and it sped everything up dramatically. I'd probably still be working on the project if I was going traditional. I switched over. I do everything on the iPad now in Procreate pretty much. And it kind of sucks. I don't have like, you know, physical artwork I can hold that I did, but the plus of just being able to crank out these pages at such a faster rate makes it worth it for me. So
that's super cool. You know, we do a side segment here with one of my other friends, Dan, or our other friend, Danny. We do it used to be called Drink and Draw, but now it's going to be just called Draw and Shit because we're just drawing everything at this point.
Drawing Shit.
Like we just realized we weren't drinking anymore either. So we're just like, you know, we're just going to be drawing shit. If it's comics, figures, whatever. But we're always trying to experiment between traditional and digital. And it's been such a hard, especially for me, because I'm learning how to draw. And that's the whole point of it. I'm just going to like do a live drawing, figure the shit out as I go. But, you know, traditionally things feel really well, but going to digital feels like more of a hiccup. Was that like a hard transition for you to kind of get used to the, I feel like the glass and everything just feels so much different than pen on paper in that sense, you know?
Yeah. At first it really was. It was pretty weird. And I was like, I don't know if I could draw consistently because I need a consistent style if I'm going to do a series. And so, you know, drawing on glass, it is kind of weird. So I actually got this, I don't know what you call it. It's like a matte cover that you put on top of the screen, and it kind of gives it a little rough edge, like you're drawing on paper almost.
Ooh, that's cool.
I think it's called paper-like, but that helps. And then the new Apple Pencil is pretty, really, really good as far as sensitivity. Mm-hmm. So I found that, you know, I can get a consistent art style out of it, you know, finally. And then like 15, 20 years ago, I had like a Wacom tablet where, you know, you're drawing on the tablet, but you have to look at a screen.
Yeah,
that was just totally weird. Like I never could get used to that.
That seems like mind-boggling there at that point too. Yeah. I've seen
people like that are proficient at it, and it's kind of strange because they stare directly forward as they're like drawing. It's like you just kind of have to like go off like muscle memory almost of like the layout of the pad or something.
Yeah, I could never get used to that. So being able to just draw on the screen on the iPad, it's a total game changer. So yeah, I got to the point where, like I said, I could draw consistently. So I'm all set up how I need to be now, and I can just crank them out at this point.
That's cool. That's super cool. Yeah, that's figuring out like the brushes and the the amount of accessories you have, I think, with Procreate 2 felt like overwhelming at first. It's just like any new program thing, that you get.
The more options is not always the better, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to limit how many brushes I use and how many, you know, kinds of effects I use. And that kind of, that helps a lot, because when you just have everything at your disposal, it's just overwhelming, and you can end up just making just looks like mud, you know, just done so much stuff. It's like, yeah, I need to simplify this.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself when like drawing something, like, depending on the context of what it is you're creating, you feel like you're better off with like more like paper and pen kind of thing, or paper and brush, paper and pencil, or
sometimes, like... yeah, like you can get some like happy accidents, you know, when, especially like inking traditionally, that it's a little harder to do digitally. So that is one thing that I do miss, and I may experiment with like a hybrid style, you know, to kind of bring some of that into it. But yeah, I would say especially with inking, that's where you can get some really cool results kind of by accident. That's a little harder with the digital process.
Mm, that makes sense. Do you even do like the same like order of things? Do you do like pencils and like layouts, and then you move on to inking and stuff like that?
Yeah. So usually I have a little notepad, and I'll do layouts, really small, like page layouts on there, and kind of work out, you know, the page turns and, you know, panel count and everything there. And then once that's done for like a whole issue, I'll take a picture of it. And then as I'm working on a new page, I'll upload that picture, then zoom in, you know, whatever page I'm working on, kind of blow it up to fill the, you know, the screen, set the opacity really low, and then kind of make another rough draft on top of that. That's a little more cleaned up, work on my panels, get them how I want, and then start the actual drawing.
Ah, nice. That's cool. That makes sense. It's probably just the best way. And then you have layers at that point, so it just simplifies it so much more.
Yeah. So everything's layered. I can go back if I mess something up. And that's another thing, just like you can always go back or layer things. That just makes digital work just so much more convenient.
Yeah. And then just, you know, inking with the eraser, I'm sure just like saves some lives every so while too, in that sense.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, also digitally, you have more room for not just error, but like at the same time, you're saying like having so many options may not be the like best feeling. But at the same time, you're like, well, I've got like a whole palette of colors I could test out without actually having to like commit to one. Right. So I imagine like there's some playing around with that.
Yeah. Color scares the shit out of me. So yeah, go back in and just change the hue on this whole page. Because I very rarely, if I'm coloring something, I don't get it right the first time. Like, I have to go in and edit it. And that's probably my weakest point. That's my took care of that for Abducted for us. So I was glad I didn't have to for Abducted.
Color
is like, when it comes down to any sort of drawing at this point for me, like inking kind of freaks me out because I know it's there and it's permanent. But then when I get to coloring, I'm like, I'm just going to fuck this up. This is like not going to come out right. And I'm trying to figure out that digital coloring aspect, but that's a whole new thing to even comprehend at that point as well.
And not even just the coloring, like the mechanics of it, but color theory on top of that. Like, does this color complement this color? And does this, you know, does this look like an outdoor scene versus an indoor scene? And yeah, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's a whole new book to study. And you're just like, damn, I'm still trying to master this one a little bit more before I even try to take on this like big breath. But yeah, no, go on, Brandon, my bad.
I was going to say, do you have any comics that you've colored yourself?
So I did a comic, just a single issue called The Body last year with Billy Diamond Jr. And I did the artwork and the coloring. He did the writing and the lettering. Nice. And so that got me a little better at coloring just through doing that. So kind of stuck to limited palette. It was mostly like outdoor nighttime scenes. It's kind of a sci-fi horror book. So yeah, I didn't get crazy with the colors, but I felt like I got a good balance in there.
Nice. That makes sense. That's super cool. So what, like, you know, looking at your style, like it does feel very, kind of like, you know, looking at like early 90s comics from like Warren Ellis or Mark Millar and stuff like that, like kind of just seeing like their line of work and then seeing the storytelling and the format of the story and also the way the art was kind of presented. It kind of felt along those lines. But do you have any like influences you can name off the bat that were or what eras that really caught your eye when you were making this book?
I appreciate that. Most of the comics I grew up on was like late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s stuff. So that's always been a huge influence on me, like early Image and Marvel stuff of that time. I don't know if my style looks like that to me, but that's kind of the influence in my head. But whenever I start drawing, it always just kind of turns into what it's going to turn into, which I guess is my style. But as far as influences, I would say, early to mid 90s kind of mainstream comics.
Nice. Did you start off like mimicking some of that stuff for your artwork, or were you just kind of, or were you like a real life kind of person that pulled from that aspect?
I mean, growing up, I would kind of like copy like drawings from comic books and stuff. As far as drawing my own, it was really more just trying to get better at drawing in general, like through the act of making them. So I wasn't really trying to copy a style necessarily. Just I was like, this needs to look like a person. This needs to look like a truck. This needs to look like a building. And, you know, just tried to come at it from that angle. And then whatever style it ended up looking like, I guess just kind of, you know, happened on its own.
Nice. Yeah. That's kind of like the hardest part, I think, for any creator, is just like developing from what you're trying to pull from inspirationally. And also like, is this my style? Do I suck? Is this good? Is it just like who I am at this point? And that's been a big like learning curve, like just trying to learn. It's just like, okay, this is just what my art looks like. And
yeah, that's kind of how it is. Like whatever it's going to be, it's what it's going to be. You're not really, in my opinion, like that in control of it. It's just, you try to draw your best and you will have a style, because, you know, you're a unique artist. So the way you do things will, you know, have a repeatable, recognizable look to it. And that ends up being your style.
Yeah. And that's something I'm slowly accepting, like even the sloppiness and seeing how it's tightened up over, you know, the past couple months of just trying stuff out every week. And it's like, okay, like this makes sense. Like it's, you know, when you think of style, especially if you're coming at it from writing, it doesn't really feel like you have a voice yet. I guess because it's not so visible as it is with artwork. And you're always trying to find your style of writing. Like, you know, Lovecraft has a style, Morrison and Moore and Neil Gaiman and such. And those all stand out very well. And it's hard to like really recognize yours, your writing as a style. But then when you look at artwork, it's just so visible in front of you. You kind of just need to know how to mold it a bit more to make it fit whatever story you're trying to tell at that point, or have the story mold to your artwork, really is what needs to happen.
Yeah. And you mentioned like sloppy versus like more tight. A lot of times like the sloppier stuff can be the cooler, more interesting stuff. And so for me, it's like, I'm trying to keep a lot of that and not make it just too tight and too, cause it can get kind of sterile to a point if you're just, you know, working it down to the minutia. So I like to keep some of that kind of spontaneity, kind of, some of it can be sloppy and kind of add to the look, you know, kind of add to your style.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that like when you try to like make your work almost like too perfect, like you over obsess trying to clean it up and everything. I don't know if you feel the same way about this, but to me, I feel like a lot of the times what ends up happening is a lot of artists tend to start looking the same once they start trying to like follow a certain standard or keep their art so tight and pristine to like a certain industry, you know, type of standard. So it all starts looking samey. And so I don't know if you feel that same way. But.
Yeah, there's definitely like the same kind of look, especially from like, you know, the big publishers. And I think that's to do with probably technology and modeling software. And a lot of the people are using the same processes and they are, you know, with digital, you can overwork it to death if you want. So yeah, I know what you mean there, where things can kind of look the same. And a lot of that spontaneity is kind of what I'm trying to hold on to kind of, you know, add to my style. So I love to see that kind of stuff in other people's work too.
It's kind of just like what makes comics comics too, in a sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and we talk about it on the show all the time that, you know, DC, their staple is like the Jason Fabok, Tony Daniels, like kind of style. And that's the definitive like DC Jim Lee type of look at that point. And, you know, as we've done the show over the last couple of years, we kind of have pulled more and more away from the big two into, you know, more indie stuff, because the indie stuff is just what's catching our eye, because it all feels fresh. It all feels like there's something new whenever you pick up a new book. There's a variety, you know, and it's so flavorful. when it's like, you know, DC, you know, we love the big twos, of course, you know, it's like, our, we love comics no matter what, but it's like, I love getting that dash of just like flavor from like an artist, or like looking at the preview book you sent us, like that was just, you know, captivating through and through. And it was just like fun to just hang out and read it. And it feels refreshing. So people who are burning out on comics or just getting tired of stuff, it's probably just because you're reading from the same publisher more, you know, and you got to kind of just spice up the artists and creators and types of stories that you're reading more than just like, oh, I just don't want to read right now. Just like grab an indie book, like Abducted is like such a cool read because of that, you know, 5 issues. It's a full story. It's something that you could go in and out. You don't got to know anything about histories and, you know, comics and stuff like that. It's just something you could grab and fucking enjoy. And I think a lot of comic book readers need that right now.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to set out to do, is make just a you know, complete story, a full series that's, you know, not too long. It's 5 issues worth. And yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said, like indie comics, everybody has their own style, and it's just pure creation from the creator on the page. And, you know, it's not that many cooks in the kitchen. So you get, you know, a kind of a fresh take. Yeah, like you said. So that's one of the things I love about it too.
I'll go for it.
I was going to say, speaking with, as about Abducted being like a complete story, you know, I checked it out last night after Brandon sent it to me just before bed. And I was just curious, like, it, you know, it does feel like a complete story, but it's one of those things, like, do you ever feel like you guys would ever want to come back to it or expand on something, or along the lines of not necessarily something in a sequel, but something in the same realm of that world or anything like that?
So, yeah, there was a lot of world building just to set up the story. And we definitely felt like there's more to tell in that world. And so we do kind of left ourselves the option, if we wanted to tell another story in that world later, we kind of left it open to do that. So with these characters, you know, it's a complete story for them, but, we could come in and, you know, branch off on one character, a whole new set with a whole new set of circumstances. So that's something that we've kind of thought about. Nothing on the horizon yet, but maybe down the road, that might be something we look into.
Yeah. Never close yourself off to the option, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Too much work gone into it to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and going along those lines too, do you have any other upcoming work that you have planned right now or that you're working on to like get out pretty soon that you can talk about or, you know, start?
Nothing that's coming out soon. I am working on a new series. It's something I've come up with myself, kind of a passion project kind of a thing. It's sort of a throwback to those early 90s, mid 90s kind of Marvel comics. My sort of take on those kind of stories. And I've got about 18 pages done of the first issue, the line art. But that'll be a ways off before I'm ready to bring that out. So, but yeah, that's what's next down the pipe for me.
Rad. Okay, cool. What about convention wise? Are you looking to hit up anything this year? Since season's coming up?
So I'm in the Kansas City area. I do a few conventions out here every year for the past couple of years. I'm hoping to do a Fountain City Con later this year. And then there's a few others. I just always keep my eyes open for little conventions here and there. We've got a huge convention called Planet Comic Con out here, but I don't think I'm ready for that. It's I think it's like $700 for the cheapest artist table. So,
yeah, that's
Jesus. Fine. Yeah, man, you're like, I'm an indie comic creator. I could totally afford a good $1,000 on my my table.
And me and my closest 10 friends are gonna buy the table.
Yeah, right. Straight up.
Hey, honestly, guys, dude, remember how you said you were my best friends and you support my career and my growth?
Just get the bunks behind there and, you know, take turns alternating promoting stuff. Yeah, man.
Guys, if we combine this as my Christmas and birthday gift and considering our friendship, I promise you, you'll make like $10 back.
Yeah.
You'll totally break even. Yeah.
Yeah. There you
you'll
go.
Totally
yeah.
Break. You just don't even hide it. You'll break even. Maybe. Like,
yeah. Are you like really like into cons and like, you know, do you do them yearly and whatnot and have like a whole kind of setup and spiel whenever you're promoting stuff?
I've really started getting into them kind of around 2021 when things started opening back up. Mm-hmm. As far as like having tables at conventions, I'd gone to a few before that in the past, but it wasn't till 2021 where I started kind of going to them every year and hitting a lot of them up. So that's been fun. Sold quite a few of the Abducted in the issue format through little local conventions. So it's been pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Do you hit up like local stores as well to sell your book and things like that?
I haven't yet. I probably need to. But that's one thing I haven't done yet. Zach, our writer, he has hit up a shop called Time Warp out in Boulder, Colorado. And they let him stock Abducted, the series, in the issue format. Cool. In their shop. So that was really cool. They support local artists over there.
That's nice. Super cool. Yeah. That hustle and grind between just like post Kickstarter, getting your book somewhere and whatnot, and still relevant, you know, no matter what. And there's never really a gap between stuff. You're always gonna be promoting it for years to come, I assume. And it's that's another part of like, you hustle for a month and then kind of keep hustling right after that, you know?
Yeah. It's never ever done. You're just kind of like, hey guys, I have this book from like 5 years ago. People still need to check out, you know?
Yeah. I got a closet full of these things. Move them.
Yeah. Is there like a somewhat comic scene in Kansas? You said Kansas, right? That's where you're at?
Kansas City. Yeah. Kansas City area. Yeah, there is. I mean, there's quite a few conventions up here and quite a few comic shops and quite a few like professional creators live out here too. So yeah, it's a pretty good scene, I think.
Okay. I think like so Jason like Aaron lives out there too.
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, a lot of comic creators work mainly from home, so they could be anywhere, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I never would have thought of Kansas City as being like a place for comics, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we moved here in 2019 and I didn't know either until I moved here and I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, oh shit. There's like three shops in there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. So your book, you know, your Kickstarter is going on. It's, you know, we're still on the first week of it as this episode comes out and everything. You guys are just launching through it. What about your other creators? Are they also like, have you guys been friends for years? Has this like developed like over one of those online forum boards where you guys are seeking each other out? Or how did this all become into like a 10-year project for you guys?
Yeah, so Zach and I met in junior college back in Texas. That's where we're both from.
In Texas?
Oh, East Texas. Kilgore is my hometown.
Nice. I'm in El Paso, way the fuck over.
Oh, yeah, you're on the
way on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he and I have been just working on stuff for fun. And we brought on Maya, who I found through Reddit. I just kind of put out a call looking for colorists, and her stuff was just amazing. So I hit her up. She was interested, and that's how she got involved. So,
Brad, dude, that's cool. It's kind of interesting. You just seeing like, it's like forming a band every time, you know, and just seeing how the band has stayed together and like maintained their relationship over a few years. And, you know, technically you've put out 5 albums and this is just like your big, like, you know, sonic compilation of everything. The story is like complete. And it's just like, it's so cool seeing a full story being told in indie comics too, because I feel like everyone, you know, we do a lot of launches of issue 1s, you know, issue 2s, and then seeing a series go on from one creator, it's such a hard thing because it takes time. And I don't think people realize how long it takes to just get one issue out when you're not on that mainstream type of like monthly budget and accessibility and ability to even like make comics as a full-time thing. You guys are doing this like on your downtime and away from work and holidays and shit, and so it takes years just to develop like 5 issues and then a little bit longer to do that collected edition. So it's
I wish we'd started with like crowdfunding from the beginning. We didn't really think of going that route, but yeah, I think that would have helped a lot. But yeah, we got through it, just made it in our spare time. In 2020 I ended up with most of the year off from work, just like a lot of people did. Mm-hmm. And so I just hit it hard and got the bulk of it done in 2020. So yeah, it was a lot of work, but it's nice to be on this end of it where, you know, it's all done and now we're just kind of getting it out into the world.
And when did issue 5 come out?
So that probably would have been late 2020, early 2021, like January 2021. I think we made our first print order.
Nice.
And yeah.
I think, yeah, it's a good comeback time to circle back to that collected edition.
So overall, how long did it take to complete this story? From concept to print?
The concept we actually came up with around like 2009, and we worked on it then and got like 14 pages in, and then kind of life got in the way. So it kind of just, you know, went on the back burner. And then in around 2017, 2018, we kind of thought, remember that Abducted idea? We need to, you know, do that and do it for real. We started from scratch. And so it's a little different than the first idea we had. But like I was saying earlier, we include those pages of the first iteration in the bonus section of this book. So that's kind of fun just to see, because the art style is totally different, and there's like Nokia cell phones and these thick laptops, and it's just totally dated, you know.
That's awesome. That's kind of like a cool way to like hit a certain moment in history that was kind of so brief, was just like that brick age of everything, where it was very
the
mobile,
bulky tech.
Yeah, like it was almost there to fit in your pocket, but you knew it was fucking there. You know what I mean? You couldn't hide it as well. And it was just like 10, like not even 10 years that lasted for. You know what I mean? It was just so fast.
Right. Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. Dude, I'm super hyped to like read the next few chapters. Did a pledge earlier just to at least get like the PDF copies of your books, and check them out
that.
Because I'm excited to see where the story goes after reading the preview stuff you sent us.
Yeah, thanks, man. I saw that earlier. I was psyched. I saw the pledge. So thanks again.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, a pledge
definitely.
As well, man.
Yeah, we try to like at least get either one of us to try to get to a pledge to each person we interview. And we always like boosting you guys up a little bit. And I mean, we're excited for your next like projects that are coming out. I'm super hyped to see like your next partnership with Lesser Known Comics and see where that goes for you, you know?
Me too. Yeah,
so much for other creators too.
Yeah. Working with Mark and Lesser Known just been really, really great. I've learned a ton. And I hope he's getting something out of the campaign too. So hope all the other, you know, creators are too. We've got tons of books there for people to check out and add to their, you know, their pledge. So hope everybody gets a chance to look at the campaign and, you know, get some great comics.
Yeah. Do you have any other plugs to throw in for like your Instagram or anything else you want people to check out?
You can check out. So my Instagram is J_red_art. So it's JAY_RED_ART. And you can kind of find everything that I'm doing through there, find the campaign through there. The Kickstarter, if you go to abductedthecomic.com, it'll redirect to the campaign, or jredcomics.com will redirect to the campaign. So that's the main thing I'm pushing right now. Zach and Maya are both on Instagram as well. So you check out mine and look at my latest post. They're probably going to be tagged, so check them out. And then another collaborator that I'm working with is Billy Diamond Jr. He's actually working on a poster design that we're probably going to do as a stretch goal. I forget his handle right now, but if you go to my account, you can find his stuff too through there. So
yeah. Who remembers social media handles? These people change them so often at certain points. I know, too. Right? I'm just like, damn it, dude. I wish I could remember. So that's like another, it's like remembering a name and a nickname and another name. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask one more thing before we wrap it all up entirely though?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, like realistically. So Abducted, just to circle back, it's about like over 10 years of a passion project. If you include this Kickstarter right now, right?
Yeah.
Because you were saying from 2009 to basically up until now, right? That's like over a decade and everything. And that obviously shows a lot of patience is required to making a book, a lot of like tenacity when it comes to like marketing it and getting people to be aware about it. Now that you've compared to like when you first started and now at the point you're at right here now, what's like some advice you'd give someone that's trying to like get their book kickstarted or get their book up and going?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say, you know, have the dedication to see through your project, even through the shitty, like hard times where it's not fun and it's monotonous. You know, you're going to run into those kinds of things. Just push through that, push through all that kind of resistance, you know, and just get the actual work done. And then Networking is huge, especially on social media. That's, you know, most of the connections that I've made through any comics have been through, you know, Instagram and, you know, Facebook, Twitter. So make connections, and then don't be afraid to promote yourself. A lot of artists, you know, they want to make their thing and then just expect the world to see it somehow. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's, you know, isn't how it works. So you just got to get out there and put yourself out there and market yourself however you can. So I'd say whatever makes you uncomfortable, dive into that the most.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, that's the best way to go about it. Like, and that's one of the biggest lessons we've kind of learned with the anthology and just like putting stuff together is just like, you just got to go out there and do it and talk to everyone you can. And, you know, if you summon them, they'll come, you know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. Once you start giving other people attention and like, you know, respectfully, like, you know, just talking and, you know, making friends over and building a community over Instagram and these social media accounts, like indie creators are really big about wanting to support each other. And I think it's real different compared to other communities and like everything else that goes on social media. Like, we're all just trying to get our art and work out there, and none of us are really competing. We're just wanting to see the other person succeed and for us to like gain their support at the same time, because we genuinely are, you know, we respect each other in the medium in that sense. And it's such a weird difference than I've seen from like musicians or, you know, like sports or things like that, where it's just like indie comics are just a different breed of people in that way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, if, you know, if somebody does well, there's a whole group around them that's also going to do well. And it's just, you know, make connections and as other people do well, you'll do well. And, you know, you support others, they support you. So yeah, it's a big collaborative community, like you said. So yeah, it's been a great experience.
And I think everyone's awesome, like kind of looking to collaborate in some sense, or at least kind of hold that card in their pocket from the right time comes, or when the idea hits them and that person's around, they're just like, fuck, this is where I have to go. This is what's going to make this happen. And I think sharing the experiences of like Kickstarters and the process and, you know, the fails with the wins and stuff like that. And it's just, it kind of helps each other build a lot of more confidence and, you know, knowing that if I fail, it wasn't, you know, all my fault. You know, I tried to give it my best. And it's taken, like you said, fucking a bunch of tries and years to try to get like a fully funded Kickstarter in X amount of time and have that relief at that point too.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Jay, I mean, dude, it's been awesome having you on, and I can't wait to see this like in print, and I'm so hyped for you and your team. We'll definitely connect again.
Thanks
soon.
Again. Yeah, man. Been great being here. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, of course.
We'd love to get your other collaborators on the show too. You know, help them out. Get the word out there. We'd love to meet them. It's people that help make this book, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, let them in.
Yeah, well, like, you know, maybe we could do a panel thing at some point too. Love to celebrate with you guys and see what you guys are all up to. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But overall, man, this has been great and informative and inspirational. I want to go make shit now. But thanks for hanging.
Yeah, thanks for having me.